I'd like for you to turn with me to a very familiar verse in Proverbs. I want to speak a little from the third verse and verses 5 and 6. We all know this probably by heart, but I'd like to share with you some thoughts that the Lord has given me about trusting Him. It says, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Surely that's the prayer of every day. As we go through each day, we realize that we don't know what we ought to know. We don't know what to do with the things that come our way, but we're thankful this morning that the Lord can teach us to trust in Him for each day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. This word acknowledge, it means to discover or uncover God. In all your ways, seek to know what God thinks about it, what His will is on it, His view on it. Discover Him in everything that you do. Seek to uncover, Lord, where are you in this? Discover Him. And when you discover the Lord in everything, doesn't that change it? It changes it for us. It transforms us when we discover God in everything. When we see Him, when we find Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Lord brought some things to my mind about trusting. Trusting God involves, first of all, I really believe this would be first. Trusting God involves knowing God. Not just knowing about God, but really knowing Him. Yeah. Knowing His character. Knowing God, knowing His love. How many of us in our battles, one of the things that the devil throws at us is, does God really love you? Does He love you enough for whatever? Will He love you until whatever? Would He love you if whatever? And that's what the enemy throws at us so many times in our battles, is that basic truth about God's character. We should know it, and the Lord can help us to know it. Seek to know the love of God. The scripture says something about the Lord revealing, I believe it was Paul's prayer in Ephesians, that the Lord would reveal to the saints, that they would be able to comprehend the depth and the breadth and the length and the height of the love of God, to know the love of Christ. If we don't know the depth of God's love, it would be hard to trust Him. But when God's love, His character is revealed to you, and let's think about that verse that we started with, in all your ways acknowledge or discover Him. If in everything that happens in your day you can see the love of the Lord in it, you can trust Him with what's happening. But if in everything that's happening you think, well, this just kind of shows that God doesn't really love me. Children, listen to me. You have battles like that sometimes where you're just not sure if God really loves you or not. You don't really know. But you can know God loves you. You can know the depth of that love. You can know the height of that love. You can begin to understand and know the love of the Lord. I need to go quickly here. I'd love to stay there. But think about knowing the power of God. Think about knowing, when we understand, when we begin to know what God can do for me, yes, and what He can do for the situation, we can trust Him in it. We can know that He is Almighty. We heard about this last night. If God can do this, and we know He can, let's just think about some of those scriptures. the question that God asked Jeremiah, is anything too hard for me? Just meditate on that for a while. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Think about this, where Jesus said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Definite statement. Think about this. Maybe we should go on. Think about knowing the holiness of God. Having the holiness of God revealed to us. Where we can understand and know what God feels, how he views wickedness and evil. If we can know that, we can trust God when he's asking us to do something or not do something. Lord, you know what evil is in this. You know where this would lead me. You know and understand the difference between right and wrong here. Lord, let me know your holiness so I can make good decisions and I can trust you when I feel you asking me to obey. If we can know the holiness of the Lord, it would be so much easier to trust him and obey. Now, if we can know his wisdom, he is never wrong. God can be trusted. He is right. There's so many verses. There's one verse in Ecclesiastes that I lean on so many times, and it is, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing taken from it. God's ways are perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It has been proven. God is never wrong. God is wise. If we can trust his wisdom. Lord, I don't know. I can't see. I don't understand. You know, there are several things, important things that we don't know. Here's some things the Lord brought to my mind that we don't know. We really don't know a lot about the past. Do we? You can read and read and read, and I find all the time, I didn't know that about that person. I didn't know the history of this. I mean, you go two towns over from here. Do you know the history of that town? There's so many things about the past that we don't know. If we knew better about the past, did you know we could make better decisions? But since we don't know, who can we trust to guide us? Only the one who is eternal. He is the God of the past. He was and he is to come. He's the beginning and the ending. Okay, another thing we don't know is we don't know our own hearts. We really don't know our own hearts. But God knows our own hearts. He knows why you are. He knows the way you are. He knows, what does David say? Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. You know every word in my mouth before it comes out. He knows you intimately and deeply. We don't know that. We don't know ourselves in that way. So who can we trust to guide us? Only God. There's no one that knows you like God. God knows the intents and the purposes and the motives of our hearts. He can correct us. Now, another thing that we don't know, we don't know the hearts of men, people. We don't know what's in another person's heart and life. How many times have you been right along someone and they are suffering and struggling deep inside and you didn't know it? And the words you said would have been so different if you would have known how hard they were struggling. We are so brash. We are so ignorant of another's suffering. Who can we trust to lead and guide our words and our actions so that they don't hurt and offend other people? We need the Lord, don't we? Another thing that we don't know is the future. We don't know it. We don't understand it. And thank the Lord, if we did know it, how hard it would be to face today. God did not let us know the future. I'll tell you what we do to maybe I might be getting, I'm going to touch on that later. Anyway, God knows the future. He's the only, He's God eternal. We can trust Him with the future. We don't have to know the future. We don't have to understand it. But we can trust God. Why? Because we know His character. We know that everything that happens in the future is going to be because He loves us and because He has our well-being in mind. We can trust that. We do not have to question that. Sometime in the future, something is going to slip up and God's going to miss it. And it's going to come and it's going to hurt me and I'm not going to be able to recover from it. I know the character of my God, that there will never come a day that something will slip up and He'll miss it and it'll happen and it was too much for me. He knows the future. So glad we can acknowledge Him in all of our ways and trust in Him with all of our hearts. Isaiah 26, one of my mainstays also. He says in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or propped upon thee, because he trusts in you." He trusts in you, and so you keep him. That's the only way we can be kept, is to trust in the Lord. Then it goes on and admonishes us after the promise, after the affirmation, it admonishes us. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And this word really, it should say, for He is the rock of ages. And that's where they get this song. He's the rock of ages. There's nothing ever, ever shaken that rock. God is perfect. He's always on time. He is never too late. He is always faithful. He will never leave you. These things are what we know about the character of God. Now, we had a song before the message. It said, "Lord, I would," how did it say it? "Take your yoke and learn of you." These things that I'm telling you about God, they really can only be learned in the yoke. And don't fear the yoke. Don't fear the, that means the discipline. The disciplines of Christ are not things that He puts in our lives to make us miserable. Never. A yoke is something that connects you to another. It is His yoke, so He's in one side. The yoke connects me to Jesus. And in that yoke, I learn Him. I learn how He steps. I learn how He goes. I learn the directions that I learn what He turns away from and what He avoids. I learn these things in the yoke. I learn His character. So don't fear the yoke of the disciplines of Christ, because that's how we learn Him. And we can learn His character in the disciplines that He puts into our lives. Well, trusting God involves knowing Him. It requires knowing Him. I must know Him to be able to trust Him. We only get to know Him through the yoke. We also, you learn and you get learn to know someone by communicating with them. And with them communicating with you. So we're going to need to be faithful in your prayer. If you go day after day after day and you never really connect with God, you never hear Him talking to you. His word doesn't mean very much. You may read and pray, but if it never really connects with you and you never really feel that you commune with Him, you'll never get to know Him. Then you're going to have problems trusting Him. You won't know His love. You won't know how faithful He is. You won't know how wise He is and that His ways are always right. You'll fear them. You'll stumble at God's ways. But if you can really get to know the Lord, and this would be, young people, this would be what I would encourage you most of all in your life. Just get to know the character of our God. Just find out who He is and how He loves you and how faithful He is. Find out His holiness and His justice and His wisdom and His power. And you get to know that there's a lot of things will fall in line in your life that have been kind of out of character, out of kilter until now. If you could just learn to trust Him, He'll keep you in peace. Whose mind is stayed and who trusts in, He keeps you in peace. Sometimes we're trying to find peace. And if we could just trust Him, He keeps us in peace. So sometimes we just struggle so and have it all backwards when it really wasn't designed to be that hard. It really wasn't. He did not design salvation to be so difficult that it was out of your reach. The word, even in the Old Testament, He said the word is not too far from you. And what that really means is, the translation really should be, it is not too hard for you, but it is near you. That's another thing about God. He is not a God afar off. He is a God who is near. He is with you always. When we can know this about God's character, it helps us to trust Him. And trusting God requires then believing Him. Now that you know these things about Him, believe Him. 1 John, I lean on this one so much too. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Just think of it being so available. I remember a time that we went to some saint's house and we got there in the middle of the night. And it was hot. It was Dallas, Texas, and it was hot. And they had a type of windows that you couldn't open, I think for safety. Maybe there were iron things or something. Anyway, it's the middle of the night, and I don't sleep when I'm hot. I just can't sleep. And so I laid there, suffered, and I thought, you know, if I was entertaining people in my home, and I was trying to be charitable about my thoughts, but I was just miserable, and I was thinking, you know, I would supply a fan or at least have the air cranked up or something for folks. Anyway, I thought, no, I shouldn't think that way. And so I went like that all night long. When first light of morning, I opened my eyes and looked up, and guess what I saw? Ceiling fan right up there. But we never turned on a light. I did not know the ceiling fan was there. Oh, I repented in my heart of all those thoughts. They're uncharitable. I shouldn't have thought those things. I'm sorry. And here, the ceiling fan was right there available. Now, another thing would have been really, really dumb of me if it would have been available and I would have known it and I would have not turned it on and laid there and suffered. Did you know this is the way we do about God? We really do. So many times, we know the love of God. We know He has proved it to us, and it's been evident to us. God's done so many things for us, and we still struggle and worry and fret and fight resentment and all this. This says we have known and believed the love. This is very important. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If we'll just believe. When you believe someone, you don't question them. Did you get that package mail for me in town? Yes, I did. Good. After that, you don't think, oh, I hope that package was mailed. Why? But if it's somebody that you can't trust and you find it later in their truck buried under all kinds of stuff and you think, they said they mailed that for me. Maybe it was a check that should have gone to pay a bill. So will you pay this for me? Well, from now on, I know I'm not to trust him because here it is on the dash covered up with all this stuff. But if it's somebody that you know and you can trust him and you said, I need you to mail this for me. If you really, really trust him and you don't even question, did you mail it for me? When you're getting older and you know your spouse is getting older and you're both kind of half a brain sometimes, then you question each other without any feelings about it. It's just like, you did make sure and mail that, right? Thank you. No, you did, but, you know, just wanted to make sure. But trusting doesn't, when we trust him, we believe him. They did it. When you trust the Lord for salvation, do you doubt that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and took your punishment? You should have been there. It should have been you that died, but Jesus did it for you. Do you doubt that? Then if you don't doubt that, what's all this trouble with the devil accusing you of sin and the devil telling you that God doesn't love you and that salvation isn't working for you? Hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Some of these things, when we really look at them, how they are, you think, oh, how ridiculous my struggles have been. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to believe in you. Now, believing God, you know him. You know what he says is true. And so you believe it. Then what does that require of you? If you believe it, then what's your next step? It means you quit trying to do what he has done already. You quit trying to do that yourself. You humble in thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for your salvation, for your deliverance. And so I humble my heart to you, Lord. So trust requires humility. It means I quit trying to figure this out because I can't do it. And so humility is just acknowledging reality. Reality is that I can't do this. I can't face this day. I can't handle what's coming my way. I can't deal with this. Lord, I need you. And so trust involves humility. It means acknowledging my need and my weakness. And another important thing is, don't just stay there and just say, oh, I'm weak. Oh, I can't do this. You know what it also involves? You know what Jesus said to Paul? My strength is made perfect. And I like to put a personal pronoun there. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus is saying to me, my strength is made perfect when you are weak. So praise God. Thank you, Lord, for weakness that teaches me and reveals to me your strength, that proves the power of you in my life. Thank you, Lord. I could never learn this without this weakness. I could never learn how to depend on you. If I was so good that I could just do all this, I would never know trust and dependence on God. But we must acknowledge that, no, I'm not good, and I can't do this, and just believe in him that he did it for you, and that he's doing it. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Believe that. He is working. What is another one that says, he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it or perfect it. We can trust him. We can trust him and acknowledge, just humble to him. Quit trying to prove things and to question. And really what that is, it's my ability versus God's ability. And I'm throwing that up against him and feeling like I can control this better than what you are. Because we feel out of control so many times, don't we? I know that in the situation we're in, at times that it seems like that the condition is getting so bad. I've had dreams, and my recurrent dream is that I'm in a vehicle stuck in reverse no lights, and no breaks. Now that is an awful feeling, but that's a dream that I've had many times. And when I'm through with that dream and I'm thinking, okay, you see, this is just kind of how it seems that life is. Things are going down and there is no stopping and I can't see and I can't stop it. I can't direct it. But we can trust. We can trust, Lord, I don't have any control of this. There is nothing I can do with this. But I can trust you. You know what you're doing. You're not going to let it be too hard for us. You're always going to be there for us. I don't doubt that you love us. You love us. We know you love us. And so, Lord, help us to just trust you. Help us to know that everything is going to be okay. So when we humble to him like that, what is the very next step is to consecrate. Trusting involves consecration. Lord, I just give this to you. I just give this to you. I can't deal with it. And so, Lord, I just want you to help me, but I am willing. Lord, I'm willing. I'm going to quit fighting you over this and fussing with you over this. It's okay to sometimes come to the Lord. How many Bible characters said, "How long, O Lord?" So many. How long, O Lord? You can do that. Your intimate friendship with the Lord enables you to do that. And also, he is your daddy God. He is Abba. And any little child could come to the Father and say, "Why, Daddy?" And "How long, Daddy?" You have that relationship. He knows your need before you ask him. So it's like when you ask him, it's like, "I wonder when you were going to finally ask me, because I knew you needed this." So he's just waiting on us. And it says that in Isaiah. Did you know that the Lord waits on us to trust him? Isaiah 30 and 18. "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." What's he waiting on? He's not waiting on situations that are out of his control. No, he's in control. But he's waiting on us to come to a place where we're really trusting him. And so he patiently waits. What did Jesus say? He bears long with his own elect. He bears long with them. He has patience with us. My Lord and my God is a very patient God. "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment." And this word judgment, it really is, he is a God of method and purpose. My God is a God of method. He has a strategy. He has purpose. Nothing that he does is meaningless. Everything that God is doing in my life, it has meaning. It has answers for me, the desires of my heart that I lay before him to be like him and to see his face in peace. This is how he can work that. I must trust him. "Lord, I want to go to heaven." And the Lord says, "Okay, you want to go to heaven. This is how you can get there. This is the only way you can get there. I know you. I know your heart. I know your weaknesses. I know where you need to be strengthened. So trust me to work this in your life. I'm here with you. Just because you're having trouble doesn't mean I've forsaken you." The Lord he's saying that to us all the time. You can trust me, even though I'm not answering this prayer that says, "Heal this pain." And the pain continues. It's not that the Lord doesn't love us, but he's using the pain. He's using it. He's doing something in us. What did the scripture say? 2 Corinthians, "This light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us." I believe that. If I didn't believe that, it would be really hard sometimes. But he said, "This light affliction," verse 17, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, And remember, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it always seems to be grievous, nevertheless, afterward. So it's just for a moment, and it's not a very pleasant moment, but it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we want, don't we? We want the Lord to iron out our wrinkles, don't we? You can only do that with a hot iron and pressure. We have to remember, Lord, oh, I feel so pressed. The Lord said, mm-hmm. You wanting the wrinkles out, weren't you? Yes, Lord. But Lord, the Lord is so faithful to help us in those times. My Heavenly Father is a very unselfish Heavenly Father. Amen. You know what He said? You know what Jesus said about the Father? He told us the parable about the prodigal son and his brother. And you know what the Father told the brother? He said, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours." Did you know what Jesus was doing? He was revealing to us the character of the Heavenly Father. In that statement, all that I have is yours. Meditate on that. Everything that He has is for us. He's unselfish God, and He is a very merciful God to us in our humanity. It says about the Father, Psalms 103, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Oh, the Heavenly Father. Jesus revealed Him to us so wonderfully. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." How did He treat the woman caught in adultery? How did He deal with the woman who was an outcast and came and washed His feet? He revealed the character of the Heavenly Father. You do not need to fear the Father. All you need to do is know the Lord Jesus and what He was. If you could just know Him, you would live for Him. The reason why, if you're not living for the Lord this morning, is because you don't really know Him. If you could know Him and His love, you would live for Him. Because He is so worthy to be trusted and to obey. He is wonderful. That's why we're all here this morning, is to share how wonderful we know God is. So when we consecrate to Him, and we just yield everything to Him, it's because we've been shown His character, and we know that if I give my life to Him, He will not misuse it. He will not abuse it. He will not hurt me. He will not harm me. He will never do anything in anger to me. I can yield everything. Everything you have, you can yield to the Lord. Your future, your past, your moments, moment by moment, and the Lord will, He will take all of that. And if He requires you to be without something, He is His own reward. You understand what I'm saying? If He takes something from me here, He fills it back up with Himself. And that's what He wants to do. And He is His own reward. I see some nodding that I know. They know what this is talking about. He said, "I am your exceeding great reward." Now, when we've consecrated to Him, we've got some things that we want Him to do and some things that we want Him to accomplish, but we've yielded them up to Him. So then what do? We wait on Him. Trusting requires or involves waiting on God. And a person that's really trusting in Isaiah... Again, isn't it wonderful how Isaiah reveals to us the character of God? Isaiah 28 and 16. "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, something that can be trusted, something you can bank on, something you can depend on. a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And here's something that we may just skip over, but it says, he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. So whenever I'm trusting in him and I know his character, I know he's never late, I know he will never hurt me, then I can wait on him. Amen. What does he do for those who wait on him? That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings. What does that imply? It means you're able to soar above troubles. You're able to smile. You're able to be a blessing to other people. Even though your heart is hurting, the Lord can give you eagle's wings. And it involves relying on him. Waiting on him and depending on him. Now, I said I was going to pick up a thought later that I started with. Worry is our way of trying to control the future. Now, think about that. When I worry, I picture it all out, don't I? Don't you? You picture out how it's going to be. How many of your worries never came about? The situation is now past and gone, and nothing that you envisioned happened with it. How many of us try to control the future? And it's our way of having a handle on it. I think about it. I picture it. I imagine it. I put all my handle on it that I can. Sister Dilly used to tell us, when you're trusting, you're not worrying. Yes. But when you're worrying, you're not trusting. So we can wait on him. We can rely on him. How was it back in the Kings, or maybe in the Chronicles? The Lord made such a wonderful victory for Jeroboam. And it says here, 2 Chronicles 13, the end of verse 18, it says, the Lord, the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. So many times in the scriptures, the odds were so against God's people. There was no way of victory. But God gave him victory. Why? Because they trusted in him. They relied on him. And when they relied on him and they didn't use any other way of help, they totally relied on God. Now, sometimes God would tell them to do something. When you're really relying on God, you're listening for directions. Sometimes the Lord would say, well, like to Gideon. Gideon totally relied on God. God trusted Gideon, and Gideon trusted God. God said, Gideon, you're a man of valor. Gideon wasn't any man of valor. But God trusted him to be one, and he called him that. And he said, Gideon, you go and you, here's what you do. And he got Gideon down to 300 men against, what, 32,000? Yeah. He trimmed his army down and down and down. And he gave him some instruction. You take these pitchers and you put the firebrands inside of them, and then you go out there and you break them and make this big noise and shout. And God used those instructions. It's not that we just sit down and let God move. Relying on God means an ear out for what, okay, Lord, what move do you want me to make here? What do you want me to do? The Lord said, in one place, he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. So the thing that they were to do was to stand still. Another time, the Lord told them, you take this group and you go here, and you take this group and you go here. He had strategy, and we can be open to the Lord's strategy and not just sit down and say, okay, work this out. It's not like resignation and abandonment to God doesn't imply laziness. It doesn't imply that I'm not involved. But it does, we are letting him know, Lord, you're in control, and you command me, and I will obey. And then the Lord can work. Now, also, I want to bring this out too. Trusting in the Lord involves praising him. Praising him when we don't feel like praising him. Why? Because of his character. Because of who he is. So many times we base the function of our opening up our mouths and saying praise the Lord or thank you Lord, we base it entirely upon us. How do I feel? What's going on around me? What kind of company am I in? How are conditions? Are other people in the service praising the Lord? Now, come on. We are praising the Lord because of who he is. He is always good. So we don't wait till service to praise him. But this is a wonderful place to praise him. Now, I want to encourage you, you are free to praise the Lord out loud. Out loud. In fact, you're not only free, but there was a loud voice that came out of heaven in the book of Revelations that says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. So we're under command to do so. It doesn't matter how you feel. You can praise the Lord because of who he is. Did you know that? Accept that as a fact. God has not changed from yesterday to today. He is no different. His love is no less. His grace is not any less sufficient. I can praise him. And you may look at me and think, why are you all so happy? How can you must not care about the situation that's hard. And I don't think you even care. No, that's not it. I praise God because of who God is. Because of his character, he never changed from yesterday to today. Whenever he had blessed us with health and strength and things were going good, it was easy to praise him. But you know what? It's sweeter to praise him now. It means more to me because I know that, Lord, you still love us and you are right here at hand. I can reach out at any time and touch you. You are so close. And you're in control, and you have my good at heart. You will never hurt me. You are not angry with me because of my sins, because you covered them with your blood, and you've given me your salvation, and I can praise you. I'm thankful to the Lord. This is based on fact and knowledge, not feelings. Never feelings. Praises are not... I want to just say that again. It's not because of what you feel, but because of who God is. So we can always say, well, thank God. We'll praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Bless his name. We can do that honestly. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that honestly or not. Why? Something happened to God? No. He's still God. You can still say, thank God. He sent his son. And if he spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? He says to you, all that I have is yours. And I'm ever with you. You're ever with me. Oh, what a wonderful Father and Savior and God that we have.